Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we've got a full studio here this morning. Allow me to introduce Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource Magazine, who swears she's never going to get a Facebook page.
That
Michelle, why is
so
that?
That is so true, because it's annoying and lame. Two things I am not.
I'm with you there.
All right. Well, Joe Haley is also in the house after spending the weekend playing Wii Fit with his sons. How's it going, Joe?
It's going pretty good. I want to give a little shout out to Brett Straff. He's the owner of 20 Degrees Below, and they provided the ASI radio team with some very nice fleeces. So thank you.
Ooh,
for
those
that.
Were cool ASI radio jackets.
Yes,
thank
they are.
You very much. We also have Andy Cohn here. He's a bit chilly after losing the heat in his house over the weekend. Everything
Oof,
working brr, now?
Everything's great now. All back and up and running.
I'm so glad to hear that. Kathy Houston's out sick, but we're fortunate enough to have our brilliant publisher, Rich Fairfield, here. How are you, Rich?
Fine, thanks.
Great. And, of course, we have our famed tech team, Steve Hawk and Samantha Bathe. Samantha's going to be answering the phones today and taking your calls on self-promo dilemmas you may have. If you want ideas on how to create a successful self-promotion, call us at 215-953-4979. If we take your call on the air, we will give you a $25 Visa card. Joe, what's on tap for today's show?
Well, Melinda, we're going to talk about bosses behaving badly. And no, Michelle, we're not talking about cheesy videotapes of bosses flashing the camera. Hey, if you have a question about self-promotions, give us a call at 215-953-4979 and we'll help you out. What's your passion? Well, you can find it in this new book for salespeople. Touchdown Andy Cohen has some unique sports promos he'd like to tell you about.
Yeah.
TMI. Michelle has a list of 13 things to keep to yourself at work. How is someone making money off of Bernie Madoff? Well, stay tuned to find out. What is the price of saying no at work? Well, we have the scoop on that.
Costly.
What's causing my heavy sigh today? Drivers.
Wait to hear about that.
Is it Zagat or Zagat?
Zagat.
It's Zagat.
Zagat is starting to rate doctors. Good thing or bad thing? Well, we'll let you know. Finally, the recession is sparking bigger condom sales. We'll tell you why. All this and the industry news in 60 seconds, Andy.
I don't know how I could follow that. Counselor Top 40 distributor National Pen has a new CEO. Dave Thompson has taken over the position from Richard Schulte, who recently departed the company. Thompson comes to National Pen with a background in the printing industry and experience in building marketing software systems for companies like DuPont and Sapio Technologies. Check out Promogram later today for a full report on the new executive appointment. Looking for some good news to come out of the recession economy? Well, it seems creativity is on the rise in corporate America. A new survey of advertising and marketing executives reports that 40% of respondents believe that innovation is increasing at their firms. As the report states, quote, when you ask people to do more with less, you force creativity upon them. And in apparel news this morning, Perry Ellis has announced a new partnership with Bodick and Rhodes. The Counselor Top 40 supplier will now distribute the full line of Cuba Vera branded camp shirts and polos to the ad specialty market. Both sides expect the partnership to expand the availability of the Perry Ellis line of Cuba Vera products within the industry. Plus, in Promogram later today, we'll have a special video report on steps distributors can take to ramp up their businesses this year. And we'll have a new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what are you featuring today?
Well, you know, Andy, just coming off of a couple big shows, we still have some new products that I need to show our viewers. So,
cool.
New products.
Now, we've already seen you speed off in a cooler, so I'm guessing we're not going to see that one.
Well, thank you. We also won't top that moment.
I don't know.
Thanks, Andy. Well, some people out there might think that the way things are going with the economy, it's okay for bosses to exhibit bad behavior. Joe, tell us more.
Well, absolutely not. Andrew O'Keefe is a former HR executive, and he's written a novel. Yes, it's a fiction book, but it's based on real-life experiences called The Boss. The book deals with the idea that bad bosses are also bad business. And he cites some statistics, such as a Corporate Leadership Council study revealed that the number one reason employees stay or left a job,
their boss. Not money.
Right.
I've seen other studies like that.
Absolutely. If someone works for a quality boss like Rich Fairfield, we're unlikely to look elsewhere.
A nice shout out.
That's kissing up, Joe.
In
a study of 60,000 exit interviews, 80% of people said they were leaving to escape their immediate boss. And another study revealed that bad bosses increase the risk of heart attacks by 64%.
Heart attacks.
Wow. Heart attacks, yeah,
they
believe
can
it or not.
Kill you.
Just keep that in mind, mister.
A problem in a lot of companies is that as long as bosses get their short-term goals accomplished, senior management really doesn't care what they do with their employees.
Go ahead.
Okay, people struggle with self-esteem and self-doubt when they work for a bad boss, often feeling trapped and staying on board to retain their salary. So there we go. Bad boss is not such a good thing. Maybe in this bad economy it might be. You might get away with some things to retain your employees.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, people are just going to be counting the days till they get another job if you're nasty.
But I think bad bosses will become worse in a bad economy.
Right. More pressure. Right. But that's a bad thing because then the employees will leave as soon as the economy frees up and they can get another job. Sure. All right, guys, what's the worst boss you've ever had? Mine was at Maggie's Pizzeria. I was a bartender. And the boss, my boss said every time we had to go down and he had to help me change the keg that we had to, he had to give me a little hug before we got down the stairs.
He had to give you a little hug?
Yeah. And you know, I only needed the job for 2 months and I was making a lot of money. So
you
I,
took the
I
hugs
gave
for 2 months?
Pat and,
I think mine is worse than that.
Really? You had to give more than a hug?
No, it wasn't so much a hug, but he was about 39 years old and he still lived at home with his parents and he would yell at his mother, you know, like about, you know, I really don't want pot roast. I want hot dogs or something like that. And he'd keep us until about first day I worked for him, I had to work until 1 a.m. And one day I had to work until 4 a.m. And I fell asleep in his office, you know, while he was talking me and this other guy. And he would kind of rock kind of back and forth. And the other guy would rock forward and front. And we had to go get him like Burger King burgers and he'd eat like 4 of them in his office, which was
disgusting.
An indoor office with onion rings, and then it would just smell so bad.
That's because mom's pot roast just wasn't good enough.
And the thing is, if you're working until 1 a.m., does mom have the pot roast ready waiting at 1 a.m., or how did that work?
I just was so thankful that it was a short-term project. It was a consulting project, and he was my boss for the consulting project.
Wow.
I did
and
get.
You never liked onion rings to this day.
I never eat onion rings.
I bet you don't.
Nor mom's pot roast.
Any other bad boss stories?
You know, I worked for a company, and it was right during the recession of the early 90s and stuff. And they used to, you know, scare people with just be glad you have a job. There's no jobs out there for you. So it was this fear that was keeping workers on board.
Michelle? Care to chime in?
I had an editor once who forbid
not me.
Careful
me
now.
No, none of you guys. Okay. Forbid me and the rest of the editorial staff from using words that ended in ing. Try to be a writer and not use words that end in ing. He had an issue with gerunds.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a break right now for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we'll take your calls to help you with any self-promotions you're contemplating. Start dialing now at 215-953-4979. If we take your call, we will send you a Visa card.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we're taking your calls to help you with any self-promotions you're working on. And we've got some callers right now, but you can still dial us at 215-953-4979. On line one, we have Cheryl. Cheryl, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Where are you from?
I'm from Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Well, what is your question for us?
Well, I'm thinking about doing a self-promotion. I'm wondering if I should try to do green. It's really today the president's coming to Denver, and he's going to sign the bill. And I'm wondering if I should hop on that green wagon, or is it just, do you think that people are going to say that's just a fad?
I think we're finding more and more that it's not a fad. Just when we think it's kind of peaked, it's gotten hotter. Do you guys agree?
I do agree.
Yeah, I agree. And Cheryl, I would think that if you're trying to sell green promotions, if that's a niche that you want to start to specialize in, mm-hmm. it would be smart to use a green product.
And also in the right state. I mean, Colorado is a pretty environmentally aware state, I would think.
I would think so. Are some of your clients environmentally aware, Cheryl?
Yes, and that's what I just didn't want to think. Have people think that's all I sell, but I was trying to think of a phrase. What I usually just tie a phrase into the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want something hip and happening, or I'm just trying to, you know, be cutting edge or something, so that it can tie what I'm saying to the so they can see themselves putting their name in there.
Sure. Well, also, you know, it is almost spring, so you could tie in some planters or seeds or things that are, you know, considered eco-friendly, and then you could tie in the idea of, you know, how you can help them grow their business. So you're not just focusing on environmental friendly, but also just on the idea of growth.
And green, you could tie in with money, the concept of money.
Right.
Oh, true.
Oh, good idea.
Everybody likes money.
Yes, we do.
Joe, any cool environmental products you've seen lately?
Well, there's a ton of wearables. I mean, you have a lot of things being made with corn fibers, bamboo fibers, plastic bottles have been recycled. I love these. There's golf balls that are made from 100% recycled material. And what I like about them, they come with a little bag that when you're playing golf, if you put a cut in the ball, you can put it back in the bag, send it back to the manufacturer, and they will totally recycle the ball again. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of suppliers are starting to offer more and more green products.
And I know we have an upcoming issue of Counselor where the bag itself is the packaging to send the product in, and then it becomes a bag that you can reuse.
That'll be in the March issue.
March issue.
Well, Cheryl, I think we all agree green is good, so we think you should go for it. And stay on the line, and we'll get your information for your Visa card.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Have a great day. On line two, we have Christine Lofton from Prime Promotional Group. Hi, Christine.
How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
Good. Well, I'm looking to get into a self-promotion campaign. Can you give me some ideas on where I can go to find examples of great self-promo items that others have done in the industry?
We can, for sure. Advantages Magazine, and you could go to advantagesmag.com, I believe. They do great case histories every month, and for sure they have a lot of self-promotion campaigns that they write about. Jen Zorger is our writer who handles those, and she does a great job finding some really great ones. Also in June, Counselor, we're going to give our Spirit Awards for the best self-promotion, both supplier and distributor.
Yeah, that's something we do annually. Also, you should subscribe to Successful Promotions Magazine, which is a magazine distributors buy and send to their best clients. And in there, there's a section called Launchpad, where we have five really great case studies every month. So
Pump Up This Promo as well?
That's true. Yeah, we also have another feature called Pump Up This Promo, where we show a real-life promo and experts say how you can even make it better.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
I would also say network at your local association and major trade shows. Talk to other distributors. They're usually more than willing to help others out with some ideas.
Great.
Good luck, and stay on the line. Thanks, Christine. And on line three, we have Lisa from Action Promos. Hi, Lisa.
Well, hello there.
How are you?
Okay.
Where are you located?
We're outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, tell us about your self-promotion question.
Well, as you can imagine, I'm watching every penny and running my distributorship on a shoestring budget. So, with that in mind, yes, is it really worth my time and my money to do a self-promotion campaign?
Absolutely, because if you wanted to sell promotional products to your clients and say, use this to promote your business, to promote your upcoming sales, whatever it is, you should put your money where your mouth is and do the same thing.
And showcase your creativity.
Absolutely. How can they have faith in you?
You don't have to choose an expensive product either.
Absolutely not.
And also, you may know, but suppliers often will work with you and give you really good discounts if they know that you're using the products for a self-promotion.
Yeah, they'll run all sorts of self-promo specials
that
they'll work with you on quantity and quality of what you're using.
You know, the person who won the distributor, the Spirit Award for Best Self-Promotion last year spent less than $1,000 and got a 61% response rate.
Wow, that's great.
Less than $1,000
total. The Singleton
total.
Company, yeah.
Do you remember what they sent out?
Cookies.
Cookies.
Cookies with a note saying, you know, it was basically he was just wanted to increase his visibility among prospects and clients. And he got 61% of the people that he sent to contacted him.
Well, and I remember 2 years ago, Proforma won one for popcorn. So maybe there's a little thing.
Ooh, there's something in food.
Right?
And a lot of time what you find is that people's self-promotions, their clients actually like that self-promotion and want to use it for their own company.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the points.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys.
Okay, well,
you're
good
welcome.
Luck, Lisa.
Thanks.
You can stay on the line. We also have Bruce from Syracuse. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. How you guys doing?
Good. Bruce, tell us what your self-promotion question is.
You know, I'm calling from Syracuse. I do a lot of work with the university here. I'm trying to figure out some ideas, what I can do with schools up here. Any thoughts on that?
Education self-promotion.
Well, education, and you know, is it education? Is it sports related? If it's education, you can do rollers and folders
and markers
and
highlighters
and all types of things that can be related to, you know, education in itself.
Okay. Are you guys coming up to Syracuse anytime soon? You can give me a hand up here?
Once you clear away all that
snow.
It's too cold there.
I think I spent my winters in Nebraska for many years. I'm
so
okay.
You're used to it.
Yes.
We're booking Melinda on a plane tonight, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to bring some samples with her, too.
Yeah, she's going to give you some ideas.
Okay. I'll meet you there at the airport. Bruce from V-Factor. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. Have a great day. All right. Well, we've heard about TMI, sharing too much information with people. Michelle Bell today is going to share with us a list of 13 things you should not tell people at work. What's that, Michelle?
Right, well, first of all, it's shocking there's only 13. There should be a lot more than that.
Maybe these are the top 13.
These are things that people tend to tell each other at work. They tell their work colleagues. And some of them can have a negative effect in the office place in that they can dampen morale and decrease productivity because they're real time wasters. And they, in some cases, can cause people to go off kilter and become unnerved.
Well, we don't want to know that.
You do tell what some of them are.
So some of them are sharing one's medical history in vivid graphic detail. Mm-hmm. Your plans to quit, if you start telling people that, it tends to make people nervous and, you know, it causes them to become a little concerned that something's, you know, going on in the company.
Unless it's someone you want to see leave.
Well, then we hold the door for them.
You push them off the door.
Politics, which clearly Joe and I have not read this list because he and I tend to go at it, but getting into heated political discussions in the office place because it can make people feel uncomfortable. As with religion. Is another one I would say that religion should not be talked about in the office. Mm-hmm. If someone is living a privileged life and spending a lot of money on, shoes or fur coats or jewelry, it tends to make people, especially in this economy, feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
Therapy sessions. What goes on in somebody's therapy session?
Wow.
Do we want to hear that?
No.
I don't even want to hear that someone's taking therapy sessions.
I think it's safe to say in editorial some people are.
It could be interesting to think about what they might be saying.
And then my personal favorite, the Rubik's Cube that is your personal life. What goes on in your personal life as far as who you're dating, who you're sleeping with, who,
No one wants to hear that. It's really racy, then maybe.
Well, I think if they had sex with a celebrity, then people want to know that.
But otherwise, keep it
otherwise,
to yourself.
Otherwise,
no. How often is that happening?
I can give you a rundown of my Saturday.
The personal health details really can be unnerving to people. I used to work in a newsroom where all the desks were, you know, pushed together in an open room. And this, you know, granted, it was before cell phones, so the poor guy didn't really have any choice. But he would be on the phone telling his mother about some, you know, male private part problems he was having. And we all got to hear it.
Wow, shared with everybody, huh?
Yeah, so I would say that that's something you would not want to share.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Well, there you have it. Well, we're always interested in the types of promos going on in the sports world, but apparently one recent FedEx promo didn't go quite as planned. Andy, what's that all about?
Well, at the University of Memphis, the basketball team was having a FedEx appreciation night, the men's basketball team, and the plan was actually for them to wear uniforms in the colors of FedEx for that night. So the FedEx purple and orange that they were going to wear. Thankfully, to just about everybody in the arena, that was actually nixed right before they were going on the court.
Did the players refuse, or what happened?
Well, actually, FedEx and the team decided together. They put out a statement that said, quote, "They were fearing a backlash both locally and nationally about an NCAA team blurring the lines between amateur sports and commercial revenue." So, yeah, I would say that there would have been a big-time backlash.
I totally agree.
Yeah, but the NCAA had actually cleared it in advance that they could do it, just as long as the FedEx logo didn't appear on the uniform. So there was definitely
UPS
a...
would do it and then everyone's in brown? Like, where do
we... That would be cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
FedEx
not a
versus
good idea.
UPS.
Yeah, I just think sometimes the corporate tie-ins go a little too far.
The colors of the team that you're doing. I mean, that's silly. I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, it would have been interesting had they... gone that far.
Well, in related basketball news, LeBron James gave out an interesting promotional product to his team members. Wouldn't you like to be on his team, Andy?
Yeah, he gave out some sweet crystal awards this past weekend at the All-Star game to all of his Eastern Conference teammates. He proved the power of personalized gifts. He engraved all the teams, all of the names of each of the member on the team, and wrote, "Congratulations, your friend LeBron."
And how much were
great.
These awards?
He wouldn't say. Yeah. Other than that they were, quote, very nice. But it was estimated in the thousands apiece. And one All-Star that was on the team said, "That's something nobody has ever done since I've been coming to the All-Star game." Just a gesture that people were surprised about but also quite impressed with. And I think it does prove, you know, that personalized gifts do count in many ways.
So it's a good new market for distributors. Target
LeBron James.
Wealthy
the highest
players.
Of high-end customers.
He blows his nose with $1,000 bills.
And he's on the cover of GQ also this month.
He is.
He is.
I think that's great he did that.
Yeah.
Well, here's something new for Bernie Madoff haters in the form of a promotional product, Joe.
All right. First of all, who is Bernie Madoff? Anyone?
Yes.
Melinda?
Swindler extraordinaire.
Yes. He is the head of the largest Ponzi scam in history.
And money launderer.
Yes. $50 billion. So some entrepreneur out there thought it'd be a neat thing to sell Bernie Madoff sleaze balls. It is a sleeve of three golf balls.
I love this.
With his image on there, and they retail for $17.99. You can get them at sleazeballs.com. And it says the sleaze balls include the following features: maximum deception allowed by the rules of golf, optimum spin for maximum duplicity, wow, two-faced pretension, sham covers, and guaranteed cutthroat action. So there's someone trying to make money off of someone who made a lot of money off of other people. My question is, is it legal?
Is what legal?
Taking someone's image and making money off it. I don't know. Can someone take your image, put it on a golf ball, and sell
it? He's not a public figure.
The though. Captain Killjoy. Well,
I think
he's
a
public figure.
I don't
he's
think that.
In this
yeah,
industry.
What do you mean I'm not a public figure?
Oh, well,
you're a celebiton, Andy.
I don't think that there would be any legality there because he's not trying to sell his own image.
But you can't take the Elvis image, imprint it on a golf ball, and sell them.
Right, but there are people who have the Elvis image licensed. I don't think anybody's got Bernie Madoff's image
licensed. Well, I saw at the Orlando show, I saw in the urinals, there was a picture of Bernie Madoff, and so you could pee on Bernie Madoff.
I like that idea.
So would you rather pee on him or hit him with, you know, hit his head on
I don't play golf. I mean, if I played golf, I think I'd like to hit him in the head, but, you know. Anyway, I didn't lose any money in that whole thing.
They're both very creative, though.
They are.
It's great ideas.
Promotional product, yeah,
absolutely.
They're very good ideas.
Well, on another note, if you are finding that you're in a rut in terms of sales, maybe it's time that you read a new book. Andy?
Yeah, a new book came out from a guy named Roy Spence, and it is titled, It's Not What You Sell, It's What You Stand For. And the whole idea behind it is to increase your passion for what you're selling. You know, you can't convince customers to be buying your products or your services without having a passion for your own products and services. So the idea is to emphasize why what you offer is important to your clients. You know, make the point that you're as passionate about what you do as possible, and it helps your clients in the ways that it does. So just showing to prospective clients that others are, you know, reaping the benefits of your services.
Sure. So how do you show your passion to a client on a sales call? I'm looking at Rich.
You're looking at me?
Well, since you manage sales.
When I go on a sales call, I talk about, you know, the magazines.
Right.
And different things that we cover and different ways, awards that we've won. And, you know, I am very passionate about it. Terms of integrity that we have, and so I suppose that I do follow that, or I try to follow that.
That it shines through just kind of by showing them some details about
yeah
why
I think most of the time
it.
That people are interested in knowing more of what goes on about the product, you know, they're buying some trust. People that advertise in Counselor Magazine are kind of buying into the trust that that readers of Counselor Magazine kind of put in the magazine. When we do focus groups, people tell us that they believe the ads in Counselor Magazines are all of new products, and that they trust them because they're in the magazine.
Yeah, I think along those lines, if you can share with your clients, you know, how promotional products work and what types of items are used and who are the clients that are using pens and who are the clients that are using mugs, and just getting details out there talking about the whole process of buying promotional products, then that will get clients excited about the process as well.
Well, if you want to see someone passionate about promotional products, I think you should check out the Joe Show.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You definitely seem excited when you're showcasing those products.
Oh, I love the stuff that we have in this industry.
It's creative. There's ideas. There's so many ideas that of ways that these can be used.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, what the
and
show
fun
tries
as well.
To show. Yeah.
I know you're still marveling over the high-heeled sneaker beanbag.
Yes, that was awesome. Leopard skin.
It's not the cooler scooter, but
I love the cooler scooter. Cooler.
It's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, or at least Joe's favorite part, Joe's rant. Joe, what are you ranting about today?
All right, let me tell you something. If you're out there on the roads, please do me a favor, okay? Learn the rules of the road and realize that you're not the only one out there. Coming into work today, and I had to take an alternate route because there's a certain time in the morning where I have a train going into the city and a train coming out, and traffic backs up, so I take an
alternate route. Is a separate rant.
Michelle's covering her eyes. So I get to a red
shaking
light.
Shaking my head, by the way.
I get to a red light behind someone, and there is no sign that says no turn on red. And I'm waiting for this person to make the right turn, and waiting, and give a little toot. Not an angry beep, but a little, come on, hurry
up,
let's go.
A friendly one?
A friendly beep, like, let's move it.
Like, move it along, buddy.
This is a long red
what
light.
What makes it a friendly beep, just because it's short?
Deet, deet.
It's like a toot.
And I'm not cursing when I do it. Yes, it's like a toot.
Right, because you gave up cursing for Lent.
But the person in the other car isn't going to be hearing your cursing anyway.
I don't know. I just wish that this person would have made the right, because in the morning, the lights are almost on like this pattern, this sequence, and if you miss them, forget about it. You add 5 to 10 minutes to your trips.
Did the person take to the toot?
No, they sat there until the light turned green. It's like, oh, now you're going to go. Now you're going to go when the light turns green. And we sit there. But the very next red light that this person was making a right, made a right on red. Out to get me, I'm telling you.
Wow.
There you have it. Joe's rant for the day. If you're in front of Joe in traffic, you should
observe the rules of the road.
Just
do what you're supposed to do.
Don't be in front of Joe.
And realize that
you're
not the only one out there on the road. Other people do matter.
People matter.
Drive courteously.
Well, we've all heard about the famous Zagat guides, where everyone – did I say that right?
Yes. You did. It rhymes with the cat.
Aha, Zagat.
Isn't that how they say it in
France? You'll never forget it.
Zagat. Let Zagat in.
This is where everyday people rate restaurants. I know I use them all the time. But now Zagat is going to start rating doctors. Andy, what's that all about?
Well, yes. The Zagat has partnered with WellPoint, the healthcare program. And they now have online the ability for WellPoint customers to rate their doctors. And they can rate them in categories like trust and communication. And now all of WellPoint's customers will see those ratings of those doctors when they choose their doctors in their program. So I think it's just a cool way to expand the idea of rating services that people use in various ways. I think it could probably be expanded to other markets as well.
I would love to rate all my doctors. Yeah. You know, whenever I get tests done, no one ever calls me back.
What do you mean? When you?
Because you're always fine.
Well, no, yeah, but one time I wasn't fine, and it turned out I was, but they didn't think I was, and they didn't call me back. And
but they say she's going to die. Don't worry about her.
Yeah, like I needed to go for follow-up, and if I hadn't called, maybe I never would have found out.
Well, see, that's communication. That's why you could, if you were with WellPoint, which you're not.
She'd definitely change doctors.
You could use that system against them.
I love my doctor, Dr. Carlton Silver.
Wow, shout out to the doctor.
Every time you go, I go once a year, and I do my exam, and he takes the blood, and he always sends you the results. And he tells you, good. This is good, this is good. You got to watch this, you got to watch that. He's awesome. Answers all your questions you have, doesn't rush you through an appointment.
And how's your cholesterol?
My cholesterol's a little bit on the high side, but I'm not looking to have
it's
to
about
take
1,000.
The little blue. That's my blood pressure. No, actually, I have good blood pressure, always have.
I'm 128 cholesterol.
120 over 80. Now, my cholesterol's a little higher than that, but I went to high school with my doctor. That's the weird thing.
As you can imagine, doctors are not
happy about
He
graduated
a
year ahead of me.
Okay, guys. Wow.
Can I ask a question about the next topic? We have the subject here is the recession sparks bigger condom sales. Does that mean increased or the size of the condoms are bigger?
Well, you're going to find out in just a minute.
I can't wait
to hear.
We talked
last week about how on Valentine's Day people were spending less money on Valentine gifts but having more sex, which, you know, could be a good thing, I guess. But, Joe, now we've got the word in about condom sales.
Yes, we're not talking about larger size. We're talking about larger volume of sales. With the crippled economy forcing millions of cash-strapped Americans to entertain themselves at home, I love that head. It's no surprise that the one particular product is seeing a sales increase, condoms. And sales rose 5% from last year and 6% from this January over last January. So in this tight economy, people are staying at home, canoodling, nesting.
You know what,
Michelle
though?
Maybe
they're
canoodling.
Maybe
canoodling.
They're not. Maybe they just don't want to have more kids because
that's
of the economy.
That's well, the other both, part yeah. of it. That's the other part of it is that in this economy, people do not want to have more children.
Either way, though, it's good for condom sales. And, you know, there are a lot of logoed condom products in the industry. Isn't that right?
There are. I'm surprised, though, that, Joe, you have the research that they're all married people that are having more sex.
No,
condoms?
It doesn't say married people.
Okay, because I thought some people might just be going out.
Having fun.
Indeed.
Speaking of industry condoms, back when the Iraq war started, one of the condom suppliers in the industry have had a self-promotion at an ASI show that said, make love, not war. I thought that was
pretty
good.
That's a creative one. I like that one.
That's good. Well, on that note, we're all out of time today. Thanks to today's sponsor, I Promote You, and thanks to our wonderful listeners. Tune in next week when we hear some valuable marketing tips from our resident marketing expert Jake Krellick, and you'll get to hear Joe rant about who knows what. Have a great day.